Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Don Mattingly, mutual agreement, out as the manager of the Dodgers. But it sounds more like it's the Dodgers saving face because they offered him a contract and he said no. Marlins could be in his future. Time now for us to go west and talk with Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, in a stunning move last week with an incredible slice of clairvoyance, put Landry Jones on his fantasy team. You're stunned.
I am stunned. I'm speechless. You've rendered me speechless. It doesn't happen too often.
Tony, what did you see in him that was maybe different from the preseason games he's been over the last couple of years?
You know, it was a completely different player. I mean, it was really just about everything. I mean, I think confidence might have been the main thing. Maybe it was a situation where he had nothing to lose. He certainly was helped out, you know, by his receivers, Martavis Bryant especially. And the running game happened to pick up about that same time as well.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, some fortunate things on Landry Jones' end, certainly. But to give him a ton of credit, he looked extremely confident. And, you know, Ben Roethlisberger may have said it best. He knows the whole offense.
Yeah.
You know, he's been here for 3 years, and they don't have to take anything out after the game. As Mike Tomlin said, you know, he may have broken a record for the most snaps in preseason history. He's played extensively three consecutive preseasons now, especially this preseason. So, you know, I think that was part of it. And maybe it was, you know, like I said, maybe it's simply the approach from Jones, as if I've got absolutely nothing to lose. Because if he'd have gone out and laid an egg, he probably would no longer be in the Steelers uniform at this point. They'd have to find someone who could play. And they feel like they've got a guy who at least, you know, in the short term, can play. Now, the Chiefs are going to have a chance to game plan for him, and that's going to be a little bit of a different story, or at least it could be a bit of a different story. But again, give Jones all the credit in the world for what he did on Sunday.
It's been interesting with the Steelers so far this year. No Bell the first two games, then Roethlisberger gets hurt, then Vic's the quarterback. Now it's Landry Jones. I feel lost in all of this has been the play of the Steelers' front seven. What have you thought about their performance?
Yeah, well, you know, without question. I mean, I think that two players in particular, Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, have become two of the better defensive ends, at least three, four defensive ends in the AFC. Hayward was probably on his way last year, but he's a beast right now. He looks like the guy who was a senior at Ohio State when there were games where he just couldn't be blocked. You know, he's playing at an extremely high level. And Tuitt, who they're going to miss this week, he's out with an ankle injury. You know, he's been extremely good. He really came on out of the blue late last year, the last month of the season, and he's kept, you know, he's continued to play at that level. We know what Lawrence Timmons is. Lawrence Timmons is an underrated linebacker who has been playing at this level for quite a long time. And quite frankly, Bud Dupree's playing well. Jarvis Jones isn't hurting them. I won't really say he's playing well or doing what they'd hope, but he's not a liability out there. And he's been playing well enough that they're able, and, you know, and so is Dupree, that they're able to limit the snaps that James Harrison gets. And when he is playing limited snaps, he can still give you a lot when he's out there.
Yeah. What's the deal with Ryan Shazier right now?
It's a great question. He's limited again in practice. You know, they keep saying he's just about ready to go, and then he's not able to go. So, you know, it's getting to the point now where he's missed, you know, several more games than he's played in his short NFL career. I believe they expect him to go this week, but we've thought that way for a while now. So, you know, I think the coaches are starting to get frustrated, not anything personal with Shazier, but, you know, if you can't get out there on the field, you know, it's hard to know what you have, and it's also hard to have any cohesiveness. They've been able to win without having cohesiveness on offense over the past couple of weeks, as you alluded to at the beginning of the segment. But yeah, Shazier is just a guy who, you know, I think it's frustrating because you know how good he can be when he's healthy. But yeah, I think it's time to start to scratch your head and wonder how, you know, how healthy can he be? And again, that's not a shot at him. That's just the reality at this point.
But usually when you're a scout team quarterback, you end up getting, just like the first team quarterback, like Roethlisberger would have, you end up getting a connection with somebody where there's some reliability as a scout team quarterback. It seemed like, from the outside looking in, Michael Vick had that with Darius Heyward-Bey, and it seems like Landry Jones had that with Martavis Bryant, which then brings me to Antonio Brown. How anxious must he be to get Ben Roethlisberger back in this thing?
Well, yeah, he's certainly anxious. You know, like a lot of talented wide receivers, he's not doing very well at hiding his level of anxiousness. He's very demonstrative on the field, gesturing. You know, just as things started to go well for the Steelers, the one guy on the field who seemed upset was Antonio Brown. You know, gesturing toward Jones and throw me the dang ball, as Terrell Owens once said. That wasn't Terrell Owens, was it? That was Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn.
Either way, he's displaying that kind of attitude. Hines Ward was the same way. And I guess you can probably go back in history of a lot of the top receivers in the league when the ball stops going their way for whatever reason, you usually end up hearing from them. The Steelers insist it's not a problem. It's just, a receiver being a receiver. And as long as the effort's there, they're going to be fine. But yeah, there's no question that he wants Ben Roethlisberger to get back as soon as possible. And I think when he does get back, you're going to start to see those numbers shoot right up because those guys do have a pretty good connection. I don't know why. You know, we sort of blamed it on the left-handed thing for Vic. I don't know why you didn't see it with Jones. It may be just as simple as what you said, that these other quarterbacks developed a connection with guys a little bit further down the depth chart.
Le'Veon Bell was about, 235, 240 when he played at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. An athletic 235 to 240. He would hurdle players at Michigan State. We saw him do that on a couple of occasions. What has the weight loss, though, meant to him on this level?
Well, I think he's a lot more elusive. I think he's, frankly, a lot more confident. And I think part of the reason that it's helped his confidence is it was his idea just as much as the coaches. It wasn't like the coaches came to him and said, you're too heavy. They sort of put it in his ear. You know, if you lose a little weight, you might be a little bit more elusive. You might be a little bit faster. You might, even have a little bit more strength, quite frankly, as long as you do it the right way. And he bought into that. And, again, I don't know if it, because the guy runs awfully strong. You're right. It doesn't look like he's lost any of the force, that he had. And I think maybe it's, even healthier for him that he's carrying less weight around. So whatever the case may be, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's a combination of both, it has certainly helped, and he looks fantastic. He really hasn't missed a beat since he's come back.
When you look at this matchup with the Chiefs, what are a couple of matchups that stick out to you, Tony, that we should be looking for this weekend?
Well, left tackle Kelvin Benjamin is out. He's out for the season with an ACL. They've got Alejandro Villanueva in, a guy who's 6'9", 320, just a mountain of an athlete. Played wide receiver a good bit his last year when he was at West Point. This is a guy from the Army. Played for Philadelphia for at least a couple of preseasons before getting picked up by Pittsburgh. And the offensive line is going to have a test. Tom Bahali and Houston are two guys that, not only can get after the quarterback, they cause problems just about every passing down. They're getting pressures. They're getting sacks. It's going to be a lot of pressure on the left tackle. And I think that's possibly why the Steelers want to be careful with Ben Roethlisberger. This might not be the week to bring him back, especially if he's not 100%. Because the quarterback's going to be getting knocked around. I mean, the offensive line almost said as much. Ramon Foster said this is a Chiefs defense that is going to get pressures this week. Maybe it's better for Ben to be healthy and come back against the Bengals. So when your linemen are basically admitting that the quarterbacks are going to take some hits, I would probably expect that to happen. Yeah, I think that's going to be the toughest matchups are going to be, especially at left tackle. And I don't know if the Chiefs are going to move their guys around or not. It would make sense to me that they have fresh legs every time going against this new left tackle for the Steelers.
Tony, what team in the NFL or teams have been to you in the surprise category plus side? And what team's been in the surprise category minus side to you so far through 6-7 weeks of the season?
Well, I didn't know how good the Baltimore Ravens would be. Right. I had no idea they'd be in the kind of shape they're in right now. I really thought that was a team that was going to make a playoff run, and they are almost in a do-or-die situation this weekend. against a good Arizona team that's coming off of a loss. So to me, they might be the biggest negative surprise that I have. I guess the Lions are a surprise as well to me. Quite frankly, the Philadelphia Eagles, for as much as people have been screaming and crying and yelling at Chip Kelly, this team's 4-3 in first place right now. So I didn't expect that to be the case a month ago, and it most certainly is.
What's been your thought on the Cameron Hayward fines and what he's done? I guess they've negotiated a settlement with the league, and do you know what that settlement is?
You know, I honestly don't. I did see a headline today about him working, towards something like that. I wasn't able to check it out, but you know, I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, you know, they've been doing this forever. I thought back to the '80s when Jim McMahon wore a headband with a friend of his name scrawled across it as a guy who had passed away as kind of a tribute to him, and then he got fined, and I believe the next week he wore a Roselle written across his across his headband. But that's what the NFL does. I don't understand how what Cameron Hayward's doing by wearing his father's nickname on his eye black takes away from the game in any way. It just makes the NFL look bad, but it's nothing new. You know, this is the No Fun League, and it has been for quite a long time, and I guess I should expect as much from the NFL.
Pit football for a moment. One thing that the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Pac-12 do a great job of is that by having their own networks, you get to see everything all the time. Now, I realize that fans get a chance to see down their games, obviously, and the games are televised locally. But in some ways in the ACC, they get a little lost in the wash because they're not quite getting the national pub feel that you would get by what the Big Ten, SEC, and Pac-12 have done?
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. I think that, with the Big East breaking up, and I said this last week at the Pitt-Georgia Tech game, the ACC has become the de facto Big East. They've got Notre Dame making their own rules, and they're not on TV anywhere, and they get the worst bowls of the bunch. All that said, that is a step up for Pitt and Louisville and Syracuse football wise. Certainly, they had to be somewhere. Yep. But yeah, to me, there's no question. That's I think what you said is exactly right. And I don't know if John Swofford is going to be able to figure out a way to improve that, or if we're going to see more changes before any improvements come, or what. But all I can do is flat out agree with you.
Right. I mean, because you would think that when you look at the markets the ACC has, they actually have more population within the confines of their league footprint than any other conference in the country. More population than anybody. And you would think that they would be, because in basketball back in the 80s, Tony, in 70s and 80s, Raycom did a great job of televising all these ACC basketball games, and now it seems like they've lost their way on this thing.
Yeah, to me, ACC football is exactly what you said, I guess unless you're a Florida State or quite frankly, I think Clemson is even a little bit undervalued nationally.
I agree with that. I'm with you on Clemson. I think they are undervalued. I think they're really, really good.
Yeah, and I think they have been for some time. But I think Dabo Sweeney has done a great job, and I don't think people nationally recognize that, and that's because they're not on TV. You know who the Florida State players are, but that's the only team you can say that about in the ACC.
Yeah.
And it's been that for quite some time in the ACC football wise. But I suppose you can, maybe there's a team that steps up every now and then and changes things. But then again, what I said about Clemson, if there is a team doing that, it certainly should be or would be Clemson.
Right. The Penguins, is the ship finally righted? And what do you think of 3-on-3 overtime?
We didn't get to see it the way we would have liked to
because
there was a penalty involved at the end of regulation in that game. So, I think it's going to be awfully exciting. I do like the idea that you're kind of devaluing the shootout. I mean, I do hate the idea of a team winning games based on what's essentially a drill, and that's what a shootout is. Is the ship righted? Boy, they still can't score. I mean, it's nice to win games 2-1 and 3-2, and it's nice to have Sidney Crosby break out of his slump. But, they need to start scoring. 2 or 3 goals per game isn't going to get it unless you're playing outstanding defense, and it puts a lot of pressure on your goalie. Marc-Andre Fleury has been up to that so far. But it's a young defense. It's not a very deep defense, and they have got to find a way to score some more points because, 3-3, everyone's sort of calm right now. But if they lose, 2 in a row, you're going to hear that chatter, start back up again. It really, until they start scoring goals, on a consistent basis, I don't think anyone's going to feel comfortable.
I think it's a great way to use your minor league and then have it and see an idea come to fruition and then use it in your league. And they did that in the AHL, and I think it's been, so far, it's been a fun addition.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with that as well. And to me, I'm looking forward to a game where we see the Penguins, you know, get to do that for a full overtime session.
Because, I mean, look, all the rules that you see today in most leagues came from upstart leagues or rival leagues. I mean, the cool ones. Oh, you think the 3-point shot, the NBA invented that?
Yeah, that's a great point.
No, they don't do that. You know, you look at in the NFL, the 2-point conversion and other things that they've put in, and how they throw the football and changing the rules. That's all AFL stuff. What the heck?
That's a great point on all levels.
Yeah, rival leagues do that. Baseball, no rival league. Pitcher still hits. All right. Kidding all you National League people out there. Tony, thanks. You have a great one. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin's complete in-depth analysis of the interview, bit by bit, in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC. Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand. Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Landry Jones, your man. Getting it done.
One game, I'm still conservative with my praise and excitement.
Oh, come on. Go overboard. You're a fan.
Not yet. Not yet. If it's another game like that this week, then I might get excited.
You have the ability to take the ordinary and make it seem extraordinary.
Listen, the fact that the Steelers are where they are right now, record-wise, I'm happy with that. Especially with Ben being out, the amount of games that he's out.
If you're happy, I'm happy.
I mean, let's look at this. In the two losses, it's been less than one score. Steelers lost to the Ravens by 3. Steelers lost to the Patriots by 7. That's not bad. And if we can, and I said if the Steelers go 500 without Ben, it's a win. Yeah, right. Did you quit?
Considering it.
I think he did. I mean, looking at the remainder of the schedule. Listen, looking at the remainder of the schedule, I remember when this schedule first came out and you were laughing at me and saying, because I kept saying, I don't like this schedule. Listen, I'm not feeling bad about this schedule right now. One of the games that I thought that was a lock, I now not about.
So you've changed your mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Raiders game, now I'm concerned about that one. The game at Seattle, not as concerned about that one. Colts game, as concerned.
But why? Why have you changed?
Because of what we talked about in the summer when the schedule came out. Things are not the way I suspected they would be.
Oh, interesting.
Now, I do like the fact that the Broncos are playing in Pittsburgh in December. I don't like the fact that it's a 4:25 start. I mean, if I were the 49ers, I'd be really ticked off about this schedule. You send the 49ers out on a short week to the East Coast for a 1 o'clock game. You send the Broncos east for a 4:25 game.
Look, you know, I mean, I know a lot's made of that, but in the end, aren't you professionals? They can leave anytime they want.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it's seriously, if they want to take their money and invest in a training facility and want to go someplace, look, we're going to show up in Pittsburgh on a Wednesday or a Thursday. We're going to practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever, and play the game. You can do that. You're professionals. College is different. You can't show up until the day before the game. That's the rule, unless it's a bowl game.
And I really like this week's matchup with the Chiefs. Because, again, if it's a close game and time's winding down, I can count on Andy Reid to mismanage the clock. Ask any Eagles fan, they'll tell you.
This is from the same guy who texts me at 6:28 at night, so I finally set up.
It was a late night. I was getting nervous.
That expert on time management that you are.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm an advocate of the Human Fund. Donate now. What?
I'm an advocate for the Kevin Hur Fund. Donate now.
Well, we've been pushing that for 4 years. How's it gone?
I think I'm at the same level I was 4 years ago.
Message sent, message received. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And they've been nice enough to go to the Kevin Hur Fund and, you know, let me drive one of their vehicles each week and talk about it. So, you know, can't argue. I guess I am ahead of the game a little bit.
You are, absolutely. And I guess Tom just bought, Penn Tavern, right?
He did indeed, yes.
Congratulations. That's terrific. All right. Tomorrow, Johnny Holiday joins us on the show, a play-by-play voice of Maryland football and basketball. Right away, one of the truly great guys out there. You're going to love listening to Johnny. He's one of those guys that in our business, you like listening to his games because you feel like it's a learning experience as well. Does a great job. And we'll have Johnny on the show tomorrow. Danny Gallen for the Baltimore Sun, beat writer for Maryland football. Roman Stubbs, Washington Post, beat writer for Maryland football. And Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, beat writer Penn State football. All on tomorrow's show. And, of course, always featuring and starring the rants and railings of Kevin Hur. Crowd loves you.
Oh, and Olympic fun fact, 288 days, 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 5 seconds from the start of the Olympics in Rio.
Actually, better fun fact on that than what you have.
I doubt that.
It appears that NBC Universal is ending its sports unit with the idea now that it's going to transfer over to being the Olympic Channel.
So, wait, say that again?
NBC Universal, which does carry sports at times.
Yes, the Universal Channel, you mean.
Yes, is going to then end its carrying of sports like Notre Dame football, golf, right, and so forth, with the idea they will transfer over to being the Olympic Channel.
Well, they've already tried to do that little by little the last couple of summers. That's one channel that you can actually get Olympic sports on.
You're just angry that my fun fact is on the Olympics is way better than that piece of ridiculous thing that you put out.
That is a valid fun fact and maybe the only Olympic fun fact that you have given in 4 years.
You're saying I'm not fun?
No, I'm just saying you don't usually give Olympic fun anything.
It's a cash cow.
The intent, though, for NBC Universal years ago was to run Olympic sports on that channel.
Sure, it'd be terrific for all of us. All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it should be great. I can't wait to watch some swimming meet in Mesa, Arizona that has no significance at all.
I mean, when else do you get a chance to see water polo besides the Olympics?
Have you ever sat back and thought there's a reason for that?
Yeah, because there's just not enough channels to be able to do that.
No, we have. I have 945 on mine. And so far, that baby hadn't made the cut.
I would watch it.
Okay. Somewhere, there's some executive somewhere saying, you know what? There's one guy out there.
Well, have you looked at what they put on ESPN3?
Never.
I mean,
as a matter of fact, never.
Well,
ESPN3 is web-based.
Right. Right, which is where a lot of people feel a lot of this stuff should go. And I'm not saying they're wrong about
like,
that, but...
Like what stuff? Are you talking about like water polo?
Right, right. Where a lot of this, we'll call it specialty viewing, should go is the internet. But let me give you an example of what I didn't watch, but what is available on ESPN3 most weekends. You'll find cricket. You'll find, I've seen some, I thought it was Australian rules football, but there was definitely some other than American football on ESPN3. But the one thing that it has done, and I will give ESPN all the credit in the world for this, they have put all sorts of soccer on ESPN3 from every European league you can think of that is not the Premier League, because obviously they can't.
Yes, contracts do that.
Yes, they're contractually obligated not to carry that. The other thing that I will say that ESPN3 has done a great job with is carrying football games on Saturday. And usually it's a lot of FCS games. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, Bucknell VMI was an ESPN3 game. And I have to tell you this, Steve. I was really impressed with... I mean, it's a full-blown production. It's just not throw a webcam out the window and have two guys talking about the game. I mean, this is a full-blown replay, slow motion, you know, commercial breaks. It's a full television-style broadcast that they're doing on ESPN3. And that's where I will give ESPN credit. That's the one place, now that I have access to ESPN3, that I think they beat everybody above and beyond, because they carry stuff that you wouldn't normally be able to see.
Yeah, but I'd like to know what the ratings are in this. How many views?
I don't know. I don't know either. That's the thing that amazed me.
Remember,
is the amount of money they're putting into
it. Just announced they're cutting 350 jobs.
Exactly. I mean, this is not a cheapo broadcast. Like I said, they have what they did at VMI. They brought in what appeared to be a control board in like a box on wheels. So it was a portable one. They had an audio board there that was a full-blown audio board, graphics, everything that you would see on one of their major broadcasts, but they had this in a small contained area. And you wouldn't know by watching it that it wasn't, you know, three production trucks like they do for Monday Night Football.
Well, I think it's a nice outlet to have, I think. But again, I'm not a okay. I will watch I'll watch video on an iPad. I will do that.
Okay.
But that's me watching video on an iPad of a practice, of a game, of something. All right? Where it's something I'm doing work on at the time. I struggle to watch a game on a computer.
I get that, but you don't have a do you have a smart TV?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That I see, this is where I think ESPN has really gotten smart.
Yeah, but let's be honest about it too.
Pardon
there isn't
the pun.
A single thing that they haven't there's not a single thing that they put on ESPN3 where I said, "God, I can't wait to watch that."
Actually, I could disagree with you, but I understand your point of view, and you're right for the most part. I mean, they put Indianapolis 500 qualifying on ESPN3, and I was more than happy to figure out a way to get it through my... I don't have a smart TV. I have a Roku app on my TV.
As Kenny Mayne says to Jeff Gordon, all right, time to stop going around in circles.
But I find that's a very interesting option for sports fans and for outlets like we're talking about here with NBC Universal.
So you're going to be fully immersed in water polo and horse jumping.
No, but when there's nothing else on and I want to see something, then I will turn to that. I would use that as an option. You know, ESPN Goal Line, that's another one. It's basically ESPN's college football version of Red Zone. That's another thing that's on the ESPN3 as well as some cable and satellite networks.
Sort of busy at the time.
Yes, you are. Understandable.
Sort of busy. Not quite in the... in the swing of it.
Well, but if you're a college football fan, Saturday obviously is your day anyway. I mean, think about it. You can actually have a game on your iPad. You can have a game on your TV. You could actually be watching. New Year's Day, I literally had a game on my TV, a game on my iPad, and a game on my phone.
I don't think where I was New Year's Day. So I was here, I was in Wisconsin.
Right, you had a basketball. You were on your way back from a basketball game, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was in between. I had a game on the 31st. I think I had a basketball game at Rutgers on the 2nd or something like that. So yeah, I missed that one too.
But the question, you know, you pose a good question. ESPN just had another series set of layoffs, which is what, their fourth this year.
Yes. Now, some of this has to do with ESPN and their spending. Some of this has to do with the fact that Disney, which, you know, they're still awaiting the big Star Wars thing coming out. But, for example, let's take the Clooney movie. The Clooney movie, Adventureland, Wonderland, some land.
Tomorrowland.
Right? Tomorrowland bombed $150 million. I mean, lost $150 million.
So they're cutting ESPN because of that? Is that what you're saying?
That's one of the reasons Disney owns. You know, you have to,
no, I know.
This is like being with any huge company. You know, a couple movies bomb, other divisions of the company also get hit. It's a business.
So
I mean, Disney owns all of this. So they've overpaid on rights.
That's the big thing right there.
But they've overpaid on rights to a point, Kevin. I mean, there's a point where, for example, where a movie like that bombs, it does not help. Doesn't help. And every division's got to tighten their belt until there's other revenue streams. And that's the big picture.
Listen, I think there's only one thing that ESPN...
It seems like it's hard for you to see that.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't disagree with you a bit. But what I was saying was I think there's one place that ESPN has made a major mistake as far as their the ESPN portion, and that's ESPN News. I think they were counting on people who wanted to watch SportsCenter all the time to watch SportsCenter all the time. And if you notice, there's more and more programming now that's popping up on ESPN News that's not basically SportsCenter.
Well, look, here's the bottom line of what they have right now. They have put in a huge chunk of $2.6 billion a year. Now that it's shared between TNT and ESPN. So I don't know what the ESPN part is. Let's just split it and say $1.3 billion a year. It's $1.3 billion. They spend $1.9 billion a year to carry Monday Night Football. That's $1.9 billion for 16 football games. They don't carry the 17th because the last week of the season doesn't have a Monday Night game. They do get a playoff game out of it now. But right there are two properties where you are spending $3.2 billion on two properties. Right? So you can talk to me about ESPN News all you want, but that's two properties. I haven't even gotten to college football yet. College football playoff. College football 12, I mean, they have a 12-year contract with college football playoff, 12-year contract with the ACC, 12-year contract with the SEC, 12-year contract with the Pac-12, and a 12-year contract with the Big 12. The Big 10 contract, they have started negotiating on that now. I mean, I've just skimmed the surface.
Oh, no,
now, obviously,
you're right.
These are contracts. These are contracts, which, by the way, like, take, for example, the NFL contract is exponentially invaluable to them. It is invaluable to them, the amount of advertising you can sell and the amount of promotion you can do for other things. But it still costs money to do it, and you have to work awfully hard as a sales staff to get it back. The NFL, you should be able to do it. The NBA regular season is a waste of time. Everybody knows it, but you have to carry it. You have no choice but to carry it. And the idea is you want to be the one that has the NBA. It rotates every year, whether you get the East or the West. And, of course, ABC has the final every year. That's what you're aiming for here.
Well, it's like I said, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm thinking one of the channels that they made a mistake with when they put it on was ESPN News, and they took a little financial hit there because it became more expensive than they thought it would to do this SportsCenter format all the time. But here's an example of tomorrow. Tomorrow they're rerunning First Take about 8 times until about 6 a.m. Then they're doing Recruiting Nation a couple of times. Then it's back to First Take again. Then it's Mike and Mike and a couple of the radio shows that they're syndicating across. They don't do a SportsCenter now until 7:30 on ESPN News because of the fact that they've made so many of these cutbacks.
And there you go. And ESPN News should be their platform to move guys or women up to be on SportsCenter.
That's what it was.
We will take a... That's not what's happening. We'll be back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Route 15 blocked at Beagle Club Road. More details on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 505. So, again, please, if you're driving through that area, find an alternate route. You will thank us later. Route 15 blocked at Beagle Club Road. So, we'll have more details on that coming up. Kevin asked me when Decoration Day is going to be.
Right, at the Jones Ranch.
I am going to say probably Saturday the 14th, probably.
Wow, that's late. Usually it's October.
Tore everything out. tore everything out. I've got small stuff there.
Buhner's going to be so disappointed. I mean, we were planning on going out that we were going to help you decorate. Yeah.
No, and just the mere threat of that, it tore everything out.
We're going to make the stop at Brewer's Outlet on the way.
It would have been worth it for me, but again, just the mere threat that you were going to come out, I said, tear everything out.
Well, you know, there's a basketball game at St. Joe's Academy this year. I may have to stop into the Sunbury Motors studio again and pay a visit.
Oh, what date is that?
I'm not telling you because I want to make sure you're home. Nice try!
Oh, it's not like I can't look it up. And I will.
It's coming up later. It's in the basketball season.
Yeah. All right, check out news at 5:05 for that blockage on Route 15 at Beagle Club Road. We'll have full details. Don't forget, Lewisburg plays tonight, Southern Columbia at Christie at 7 o'clock on the Valley 100.9. We'll have the game for you. Matt Cotrillo, Trophy Michaels, 6:30 the airtime, 7 the kick, and then everybody else plays tomorrow night, including Shikalimi at home with unbeaten Loyal Sock. 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Johnny Holiday, the voice of Maryland football and basketball tomorrow. Danny Gallen, beat writer, Baltimore Sun. Roman Stubbs, beat writer, Washington Post. And Frank Bonanni, York Daily Record, all on tomorrow's show. We look forward to it. 3 to 5 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.